Hello and welcome to another episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. I'm James.
And I'm Sarah.
And on this week's episode, we're actually going to record. So last week, if you listened, it was a re-upload of our season one episode, I think 17 or something like that. Welcome to spooky season, because Sarah and I were both very preoccupied last week. So our schedules got a little too busy to actually record. So we just uploaded a older episode. So I did an intro and then an outro, and that was last week's episode. So thank you for sticking through it with us. And this week we're going to do another live episode, and we'll see what we talk about this week. But first off, how's it going, Sarah? How's Sarah doing?
I'm okay. School started back for me this week.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. I am excited. I am a little anxious, but I'm doing okay. I'm done with the majority of things I needed to get done this week already. So.
Well, that's good. What classes are you taking so far?
So the first half of the semester I'm taking an intro to mythology class, which I'm very excited about. And then there's this, it's called PACE, but it's one of those intro to college courses, yeah. Kind of courses.
So say it like sets the tone and tells you what to expect kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's an easy A. Like I'm not upset about it.
Great movie, by the way.
True. The second half of the semester, I am taking a library class, specifically about research. I figure I've been out of school, a couple of years at this moment. And with all the AI misinformation out there, I figured it would be good to brush up on, research. And then I'm taking a Korean language and culture class.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. Maybe you can help me understand how this stupid online library works, because anytime I search in the online library for school, it's atrocious how bad it is, because I'll put in the exact title of something that I want it to pull up, and it'll pull up everything but that title. And I'm like, even if I put it in parentheses and then it tells me there's nothing found. It's very frustrating the way that the stupid library works online.
Is your system specifically set up to enclose with brackets instead of quotes?
No, it's either. So it does either. You can use brackets or quotes. Because I've used both. And It does the same thing either way. Weird. I just hate the library. I've always hated the online libraries at our schools, at the schools that I've gone to before. Because it's like, it's always very hard to find. Or even if you filter it out to be within the last like 5 years, it still gives you really old things that have like, that don't really matter anymore. Like, it's good historical context, but the information, especially if it's anything with technology, if it's more than 5 years old, even then it's kind of getting a little iffy because technology from 5 years ago is completely different from technology today. So it's like, unless it's about how technology was used and you're doing like a historical review of technology or something like that, then if it's more than like within the last 2 years, it's probably outdated already, which is insane.
It works similarly in the medical field.
Yeah.
Where if it's not been updated within the last couple of years, then it is outdated. And yeah. So, yeah, that's understandable.
Which is insane when you think about it, because of some of the standards that they set in like medical research and medical places. Mm-hmm. It's based on information. Standards are based on information from several years ago, sometimes in like the 60s and 70s. And like they just haven't updated it. So it's crazy sometimes.
Yeah. What's even crazier is the fact that we've never fully studied the female body.
Yeah. It's insane.
And I mean, unfortunately, I have been a victim of medical sexism on multiple occasions.
See, yeah, that's the thing that I think people talk about it every now and then, but then it's like, if you go to have a hysterectomy or something, or maybe not even a hysterectomy, but your tubes tied and you're not married and you don't have children, there's a lot of pushback from a doctor. And it's like, it's not your decision. It's mm-hmm. mine. So you shouldn't be telling me how to live.
Right. My issue was always I got the quote unquote whiny woman treatment. I don't know if you've been seeing that going around on TikTok.
I haven't.
But essentially it's doctors coming out and being like, yeah, there's a specific type of woman that we just call them a WW, which is a whiny woman. Because like she says something's wrong with her, but nothing seems to be wrong with her. So it's all in her head. And like I experienced a lot of that, especially related to my menstrual cycles. Because we haven't fully studied menstruation.
Yeah. That's insane. It's crazy. The medical world and the way that like things happen. And it's like women, it's the medical company or the medical organization that has the issue or that has like the bias, I guess I would say. But then for men, it's like it's seen as you're weak if you go to the doctor for something. So it's like, mm-hmm. just get over it or just rub dirt on it or move on. So it's like, it's a stigma that you're weak if you go to the doctor for anything. And it's like, that's not really a thing. And like for women, I don't really know from obviously I'm not a woman from personal experience. I don't know anything, but just based on what I've read, what I've heard. And then kind of the conversation that you have, I have with you sometimes, it's like, it's none. Like the doctor and the way that they work, it's very frustrating and obnoxious, and mm-hmm. it doesn't make any sense sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm paying you a lot of money sometimes, so you're going to do what I ask, or you're not going to get paid.
Yeah, but then, you know, there's issues with, and then of course insurance shouldn't even play a part in it, but it does.
Oh yeah, insurance. Let's talk about medical insurance that we pay for, because I have a massive issue with my medical insurance. It's insane.
I do too.
So I don't know if we've talked about it on here, but I actually just started seeing a doctor and they prescribed a medicine. And then whenever they sent the medicine in to my insurance declined it and said that they wouldn't pay for it. And I'm like, well, my doctor is telling me I should take it. My doctor is asking me to use it. It was $395 a month.
Oh my God, definitely been there.
The dosage just upped. And now it's with like the, because I have to have needles for it too. It's over $500 a month.
Damn.
Yeah, so I'm paying that out of pocket. So that's always fun.
So
it's a lot of fun.
I mean, the horror stories I could tell you about insurance, not even from like my current job, though that as well, but when I was working as a pharmacy tech, there was this couple who came through my line, and both insulin dependent diabetics, and their insurance wasn't covering it. So it was like $2,000 a piece for their medication without insurance. And so they literally in the line were having to figure out who was going to be able to get their insulin that month and who was going to pay rent, because they couldn't do both.
That's crazy.
Like working in the medical field in any capacity here in the United States is so utterly demoralizing. Like, especially when you're having to deal with insurance and insurance denials and people who genuinely need what is going on, like, you know, what they've been prescribed. But
especially for someone like you, who is very empathetic towards people, and it really, like for you, it really harps on you emotionally when something bad happens to someone else.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think we talked about it before. I said you might like it might be good for you to like look into getting a job at like a leasing agent or something like that. And you were like, I don't know that I could, because when people can't make their rent, I don't know how I would react to that.
Yeah. And honestly, it's difficult at this job because people can't afford, you know, their payments to come to physical therapy. And I'm over here and I'm like, I get it. I understand. But they have a choice on whether or not sometimes, you know, they can go somewhere else that their insurance might cover.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But with a leasing agency, man, you're stuck in that. You're stuck in that. You can't just move.
Yeah. And you can't really just break your lease unless like something crazy happens that is right. The apartment complex's fault. Then I think like one of my coworkers, my newer coworkers, he was moving into an apartment, and a few days before, like I think he said 17 days before they were supposed to move in, there was a massive leak in the apartment. Like the apartment at the very top of their building. Mm-hmm. And then it leaked through and damaged all of the apartments underneath it. And it took them like over 7 weeks to get it fixed. And they're still like mitigating losses and going through like lawyers and the courts to reimburse the families that were living there at the time. So right. He ended up being able to cut the lease or get released from the lease because they couldn't fulfill their move-in date and their obligation to have him move into an apartment within an adequate time frame.
Right.
So things like that. That's really like, unless it's something drastic that happens, you can't really get out of a lease very much. Unless it's like mutual, you and the leasing agency are like, yes, we agree that you will break your lease. Sometimes you have to pay a fine or I shouldn't have, whenever I moved here, I shouldn't have broken my lease. I should have just paid for it through the rest of my term, because it was like, I want to say like 3 months, and it would have been cheaper for me to just pay the 3 months and move out than to break my lease.
Dang. That sucks.
Yeah, because I didn't give them notice. They charged me a fee, and then they also charged me 2 months because I was moving out without notice. So I was like, I should have just paid for the 3 months that I had left, and then that would have just been extra money that I would have had to deal with. But I think you have to be physically there to turn in the keys. And I'm like, that's stupid.
Fair. I don't know. It just the state of things.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can tell, but I am at home. Obviously, I have my mic. So I originally was going to do this at the office because we were having our summer carnival thing that we do every year. Well, for the past three, this is the third year we've done it. Sorry. And I was helping with it. And then I had an event that I was going to go to later tonight. I'm no longer going to that event because I'm like exhausted. And
valid.
So it was, I got there at 8:30 and I left at, it was like almost 2:30, and it was 84 degrees. And for like an hour and a half, I had no covering. So I was just in the sun. And the thing that I was doing, so I'm frustrated and annoyed with a lot of the people at my work, specifically the director at my work, because we, all of the employee resource groups had to sign up to do something. And I was like, oh, I want to do like a Jeopardy style game. Well, then another employee resource group was already doing a game and they were doing four rounds of it. And I was like, then it doesn't make sense for me to also do a game. And why are you doing a game and hosting like they do like a, for the kids, they do a like pick a duck thing where you pick a duck and they win a prize or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So they were doing two things, and I was like, I don't really want to do anything else. I would like to do this Jeopardy that I was planning on, but since you're insistent on doing this, I will find something else to do. So I decided that I was going to just do a photo wall. So I worked with our admin, and we ordered this backdrop for a photo wall. And I was standing there waiting for people to come over and get their picture taken. And a few people did. I want to say, yeah, I could probably just look on the little photo printer app and see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wait, that's probably not it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I printed out 10 pictures. There were over almost 200 people at this thing, and I only did 10 pictures. And I had the director come up, or as he was walking by, I was like, are you guys going to get your picture taken? And he looked at his girlfriend, and she was like, no, we'll do it later. And I was like, okay, cool, whatever. That's fine. And I was like, okay. A lot of people were saying that, no, we'll just do it later, or we'll come back by. I was like, whatever, that's fine. It's easier if you do it now, because then I can print the picture, because it usually takes about a minute for me to print the picture, because I was using a really cool Polaroid printer that printed it out right there. But I was like, whatever, that's fine. And then I was just waiting, and then the sun came, and I was like, I'm dying. And I messaged Alitza, and I was like, I'm going to stop doing pictures at 1 o'clock because I'm in the sun, because the sun has gone or come out, and now my shade is gone because I was in the shade for a little bit. So
I was gonna say, like, your forehead looks a little red.
Yeah, I am sunburned. So the director never came and got his picture taken. A lot of the managers didn't get their pictures taken. Like, none of the supervisors that were there that I saw got their pictures taken. Some of the employees came and got their picture taken. And then none of the other directors came and got their pictures taken. And I was like, so this is a waste of my time. And I usually stay around to, like, help clean up and put everything away. But I grabbed all my stuff and I put my stuff up. And I'm like, I'm leaving because I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. This was a waste of my time. I had something else that I was going to do tonight that now I'm not going to do because I'm exhausted and covered in sweat. And I don't want to go to this event covered in sweat and disgusting from standing outside in the sun all day.
Valid.
And the event tonight was at, like, 5, which I technically could still go if I wanted to get in the shower and change and drive back into Boston, because it's in Boston. Mm-hmm. It's an HRC event for members that give a specific amount or more monthly to HRC, and they just kind of want to give those members something and, like, show them, like, what they're doing with the money that we donate. Mm-hmm. And I still kind of want to go to it, but it starts at 5, and I would have to jump in the shower and then drive all the way back to Boston. And then I would also have to charge my car, because right now it's at, I want to say, like, 50% or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
48 or something like that, which isn't bad, but 43. But I would have to drive back there, which is 40 miles, and then back home, which is 40 miles. And that would be 8 miles left on my range before, yeah, I needed to charge. So that's not going to happen. But other than that, the event was fine. There was this person that came in and they had a baby, which is annoying anyway. But they went behind the picture wall and stood there with the baby while it was screaming. And I was like, I specifically positioned myself here away from all the baby and the kid stuff so that I wouldn't have to deal with this. Get your baby away from me. Get your children away from me. Go away from me. Get away from me. It's like, I'm stuck here. You could go anywhere. Why are you here? But eventually they came and I messaged Elise, and I was like, I need something because my equipment is getting hot. It's in the sun. It can't be in the sun because it's expensive equipment, like my camera and the photo printer wasn't really that expensive. It was like $130. I say that Sarah rolled her eyes because that is kind of expensive, but I didn't pay for it. Boston Scientific did. So
that's fair. That's reasonable.
My camera, I didn't pay for that either. Ryan did. So he technically bought that. It's Ryan's camera, but I've kind of commandeered it and I use it more than he does. So we share it, kind of.
The benefits of being in a relationship as long as y'all have been.
Right. But aside from that, I did want to talk about, I have a question for you and kind of like a get your thought on the process. Do you consider listening to an audiobook, reading a book?
Okay, I have I have so many opinions about
this. I bring this up because I've seen some discourse online about whether reading a book or listening to an audiobook is reading a book.
So I will say this, that your brain is not processing the experience the same way from reading it yourself to having it read to you. I recognize that there are a lot of benefits to having audiobooks for people who are blind, for example, and unable to get a copy of the book in Braille for themselves. You know, people with disabilities of all kinds, you know, could benefit from having audiobooks. But listening to an audiobook is not reading. Like, just from the standpoint of the definition of reading, like, when you are reading something, you are absorbing content as your eyes perceive it. That is, like, reading, you know, that's obviously, this is not a popular opinion.
I will say, I don't think it is. I agree that it's not the same experience when you're reading versus when it's being read to you. However, I would not have finished the book that I just finished if I were reading it on my own, because I have this tendency to have an issue where if I'm reading and I realize I read a word wrong or I read something wrong, I will start the paragraph over, even if I'm like close to the end of that paragraph, because I feel like I missed something. I can't miss anything when I'm reading because it drives me nuts, because then I have to go back. I can't just skim, because a lot of people say that they skim when they read, and I'm like, I can't do that. I have to see every single word. And if I miss a word, I have to either start the sentence over or completely restart from where, like from the beginning of that portion of it. So to me, reading is not something I've ever enjoyed, not something I've ever liked doing, because it takes me so long to read a book. It takes me a very long time. And if it's not something that I can be, like someone can read it to me. The other reason I think it's beneficial for some people to have the book read to them is so that they can hear the author's point of view, specifically when it's the author reading it. Right. Because if the author wanted it to be a specific, like be read in a specific way, be read with a specific tone, the author's going to give that to you right. when they're reading the book. Then whenever it's like left into your own, like if you're left to your own devices, then there's an issue where like you could inflect on it incorrectly and it could have a completely different meaning than what the intent of the author was. So it could come across very different than what the author was trying to come across, than what the author was intending to have. Mm. So I think, to me, is it reading? No. Are you absorbing the same amount? I think it depends on how you learn, because some people right. learn better by listening than by reading. And me, I learn better and I can absorb more when it's like something interactive or something that's entertaining and it keeps me involved and engaged. If I'm reading it myself, my brain wanders and I get bored and I walk away from it instead of having someone read. Now, I will say, I was reading the Let Them Theory, which is a great book. I did just finish it. I think I'm at like the acknowledgement or something like that. There were some parts of it where it's like this book really like this portion of it isn't for me, because it was talking about how to raise children and use the Let Them Theory and Let Me Theory to raise children. And I was like, that's never going to be my issue or my deal. I'm not going to have to worry about that because I don't have to deal with children. And I have the ability to withdraw from any instance any where there are where children.
There are children.
Yeah. So that part of it, I was like, I do realize that this book isn't just for me. So I just listened to it. I was like, okay, there's some good information in there, but this part of it isn't for me. So I was able to kind of skip or not skip, but listen through it, but not pay as close attention to some of the parts that is like, it was more important. So like working, like how to, in a relationship, because there was a lot of relationship with it stuff with at the end, how to recognize, I mean, this isn't an issue for me, but how to recognize when, if you're in a relationship and you want someone to do something, but they don't want to do it, how to either come to terms with that and adjust your expectations from that person, or decide whether that is a, like, an end it factor.
Right.
So how do you do that? So let them continue to do what they like, what you want them to change, and let me figure out how to adjust, whether it is something that I can just get over and it's not going to bug me, or is there some way that I can not actually like influence them? She did say it was like an influence through action, where it's like, if you want your partner to start exercising more or something like that, you exercise more and then talk about how really good you feel after you exercise, and just be like subtle hints where it's like, I feel so amazing, or I'm so happy whenever I'm done exercising. I mean, I would hate people like that, but whatever.
That lifestyle's not for me, thanks.
but there were also like parts of it that it was like, how to like figure out within your job, if you don't like your job, what do you need to do to fix it? If people at your work, if your idea didn't get chosen, it's fine. Let them not choose it, but then continue to work on your idea and refine it more, and then bring it back up later. So it's like, let them do whatever they're going to do anyway, and then let me figure out how to adapt what I'm doing to kind of make more sense with my job. It's an interesting book. I think you should read it. You might get a little frustrated with it, because there are some things in it that I'm like, I don't know that people can just do this. And she does say it will be hard to do this, but the benefit that you'll get if you stick with it is better than if you just kind of continue to fall back into the same old habits.
No, and I get that. I understand that. I do remember you saying that you thought that it would be a good book for me to read.
No.
Which is fair. I currently am in a reading slump.
Well, I mean, you're getting ready to start school, so you're going to be doing a completely different kind of reading soon.
True. I'm very excited about this Intro to Mythology class.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I'll get to experience myths that I already know in new ways.
That's exciting, yeah.
Because I've been interested in mythology literally my whole life. It's weird. It's almost like that's my religion. But anyway.
But speaking of school, I did just have a call yesterday with my instructor, my professor. And mm-hmm. we talked a little bit, and I was like, I'm having an issue with the paper that I'm writing, or the applied research project that I'm doing, where I'm frustrated with it and the feedback that I'm getting. And it's almost like, do I just scrap everything that I've done and completely start over, since I have, well, now 8 weeks to just redo it? Or do I adapt it and make it similar or more what they're looking for? Because like the biggest piece of feedback was, it's not as impactful if I'm just looking at the impact of including videos and visual aids in a training program, and I need to focus it more on like, what am I looking at? So am I looking at the error rate, or how people feel when using videos and visual aids as part of their training program?
Mm-hmm.
So right now I've kind of adapted it to be a mixed model research paper, where I'm looking at the error rate that improves from the use of videos and visual aids, and I'm going to be surveying people about what their experience and their thoughts were whenever they received or they started using videos in part of their training.
Okay.
And I was like, I was talking to her yesterday, and I was like, I'm trying to figure out, my brain is very focused on just my specific area, and I'm not thinking bigger terms. And I'm like, if I'm just focusing on my facility and like my job, then I can't really share a lot of the data because it's not public. And a lot of the information that I'm going to look at or review isn't public. And I would have to look at, so she was like, no, well, you don't want to do that. you want to focus on your industry or industry similar to yours and look at like their training program and see like what's out there about implementing videos and visual aids in their training programs. And that's where you want to pull your information. My brain is very hyper-focused sometimes where it's like I focus on one thing and I can't see a different picture and I need to kind of just have someone walk me through that. And so that was helpful.
Good. I'm glad that that was helpful.
I'm still frustrated with it because I'm like, I don't really know exactly how I want to change it and if I want to just, I'm not going to just scrap it. I've already decided that. And she kind of talked me off that ledge anyway. She was like, you do have really good information with what you already have. It's just really like restructuring it and focusing it on specific areas is where you need to kind of redo it. So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to work on it today and then tomorrow and finish it up on Monday and turn it in. The first chapter rewritten.
Okay.
And then I had to focus on the second chapter, which kind of really baffles me because the second chapter, they didn't really give me very much feedback on. It was mainly the first chapter. And it was basically just like this information, your research problem isn't as focused as it should be.
Right.
So I don't really know what I need to do for my chapter two, aside from bulking it up, is what I got from the professor, like my new instructor.
Okay. So bulking it up as in providing more information to support your ideas or?
Doing more research to support my idea, but also doing like some, like where identifying gaps specifically. Because I guess, so the entire intent of this research paper is to identify a gap and then implement something to improve that gap and close the gap within like your specific focus.
That makes sense.
And I'm having a hard time understanding, because to me, I don't like the way that it's structured because I would want the gap information and the like literature review at the beginning and then talk about like, so from this, here's the gap that I've identified based on this research. But it's the opposite. They want the gap identified at the beginning and talk about like what the gap is, the history of the issue, and then the go into here's what I'm going to do about it, and then provide all the research behind the issue, the gap, and how you find identified the gap. And I'm like, I don't like that. I would rather it be here's the research that I've done to identify the gap, here's the gap and the research question that came from that research, and then the next part of it is to identifying the method in which I'm going to use to review it. So the identify how to do the understand the error rate and then how to do the qualitative aspect of it where I'm asking for people's opinion on the inclusion of videos and visual aids in their training program. So I would rather it be that way.
I think I would agree with that, to be honest.
And I think the one thing that I would also give them feedback on with this program is to provide more examples of the research projects in the way that they want them formatted, because that's one of the things I'm noticing is I haven't seen one aside from like the other students in my class. I've seen student essays and student papers just because I've had to read them and do research, but I haven't seen them structured this specific way. So I'm going based off all of the other peer-reviewed essays and peer-reviewed papers that I've already read and how they've structured it. And I'm trying to structure it the same way as those, but they want it structured a completely different way. But they haven't provided a very good idea of here's an example of what we want it to look like. It shouldn't be exactly like this, but here's an example. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we'll see. I have 8 more weeks to rewrite it and turn it in. There's I actually was supposed to turn an updated version of it in last week. But I talked to her and she said, it's fine. Just get it turned in and whatever. Cause it's really, there's nothing actually due. They want it turned in 3 times so that they can review it and give it feedback. And if you don't have to make any changes after the like first or second time you turn it in, then the rest of your like work, is, the rest of your week is kind of like the rest of this term is like doing your own stuff. So if you wanted to work on your method or whatever, then you can have the rest of the term to do that too.
Right.
So I'm hoping I'll turn it in this time. I'll get the okay for chapter one and then work on chapter two. And then the next thing that I have to turn in probably at week like 7 or 8 will be the end of chapter two. And then I won't have anything else to do for the last three weeks of this term. Well, probably 2 weeks because they probably won't give me feedback until week 8.
Right.
And 9 and 10 is when I would have time to change it and then wrap up.
Cool.
Well, how was your event that you went to, the thing that you went to yesterday?
The thing that I went to yesterday.
I don't know. You said we couldn't record yesterday because you had something to do.
Yes, that is true. I did have something to do. Originally, Nick and I were supposed to go to an event, but it turns out that the event was actually for this evening.
Oh.
But yeah, so we ended up going and getting a Korean barbecue instead.
Oh, that's fun.
It was nice. We had a good time. We watched a horror movie last night that was so good. I thought of you and Ryan. It was called Alice, Sweet Alice. And it has a very, very young Brooke Shields in it. But it was a mess. It's essentially this little girl played by Brooke Shields is murdered in the church right before she takes her first communion, which is a really big deal in Catholicism. And everybody's pointing fingers at her older sister and saying that Alice, her older sister, did it. And Alice is kind of creepy. So, but it was brilliant. It was very well done. I would highly recommend it. I actually enjoyed it so much. I would give it a 9 out of 10, to be honest.
That's good.
It was one of the better horror films I've seen, actually. You have to really admire Alice's parents in the movie because they really stick up for her. There's no way our child did this horrible thing.
There's no way to actually cancel my... I was going to go in and cancel my thing for the event that I was going to tonight, mm-hmm. my ticket, but there's no way to go in and actually cancel it.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's fine.
But yeah, so that's... Originally, we were supposed to go to an event that was for like the poly community. So like it was a poly community event. But yeah, turns out it is this evening and neither of us have the spoons to do it this evening because we thought it was yesterday.
the bandwidth or capacity to do it.
Exactly. We used up that bandwidth.
Well, what was I going to say? I was going to say something else, but I don't remember what it was now. It's fine.
You'll think of it.
Yeah, I'll probably think of it when we get off this.
Probably. We'll be done recording and we'll have said our goodbyes.
I remembered it now. I have a doctor now. I have a primary care provider, primary care physician.
Woo.
And it's literally like I could walk to it from here. So that's how close it is. So
love that.
It's good. And they were like, so they took my blood pressure and they were like, your blood pressure is a little high. And I was like, yeah, it usually is whenever I come to the doctor. And she goes, oh, so you might be suffering from what they call white coat hypertension. And it's where your blood pressure increases when you're at a doctor's office.
Yeah.
So what I've had to do for the last week is, well, not for the last week, for the last, well, yeah, since, because it was last Friday, is take my blood pressure every day and measure it and see if there's a difference from when I'm at home from what they got there. And there is a little bit of a difference. It's still high. So we have to like look at that. But then I also have to bring next Friday. I go back and they're going to do another measurement, but I have to bring in the device that I've been using to do my measurements at home to see how big of a difference it is between the two. Mm-hmm. And then I will probably start taking some blood pressure medicine for right now. Because it's like it's a little higher than what it should be.
Right.
So that's fun.
You know, this is the joy of getting older. Now we have to actually like pay attention to this shit.
Yeah. Taking drugs.
Not the fun kinds.
No. I mean, I don't really think there are any fun drugs to me. For me, there's no fun That's drugs.
Fair. That's fair. That's
but then, fair. Like, it was funny. I really liked the nurse practitioner that I was working with on Friday last week. She was really nice. She was very distracted by my shoes because I was wearing my, I don't think you've seen them, my Doc Martens that are cheetah print.
Oh, no, I have not.
I love them. I just got that. It's, I mean, I've had them for a little bit now, but they're amazing. I love them.
They sound amazing.
And I had to take them off because they did my weight and everything. And I was sitting there and I was like, shit, I have a hole in my sock. God. And I kept like hiding my toes because the right foot had a hole in it that I didn't realize until I took my shoe off. And I was like, God, my I look like a mess. But then I thought to the let them and let me theory, and I was like, oh, it's fine. They don't care. They're not looking at my feet anyway. And then she kept getting distracted by my shoes. I'm like, can I put my shoes back on? Because I'm sitting here with my feet just out in the open. And she was like, yes, you can put your shoes back on. They should have told you that already. And I was like, I don't like having my shoes off. But she was really nice, and she actually lives in an apartment that is ran by the same management company that runs our apartment.
Oh, nice.
And we talked about it, and I was like, yeah, I was frustrated the other day with them because they came knocked on the door while I was in the middle of a meeting, and we're going to change the air filter. And I was like, why are you here? One, and two, why didn't I get notification that you all were going to be going around knocking on doors and changing air filters? Because I'm in the middle of a meeting, you're interrupting. You'll have to come back later. And right. She's like, oh, yeah, they do that all the time. I'm like, it's so frustrating. It makes me want to shake a baby.
Ryan.
Or the people in the front office. One of the two.
Shake the people in the front office. What did that baby do to you?
It's just there.
It's just existing. And Ryan's like, you don't deserve to exist.
But she was very nice. I like her a lot. She was very friendly, very, very fun. She was wearing a mask, so I don't know if she was just doing it because she had to deal with sick people or if she was not feeling well, but she was a lot of fun. She was very nice, and she was very interactive, very similar to you, very bubbly, very jokey and fun.
I love that for you.
So, are you doing anything else this weekend other than trying not to release your spoons? Or hoarding the spoons you have left?
You make it sound like I have spoons left. We're in the negatives, baby. No, I am planning on, I have to finish some schoolwork this evening. I'm probably going to take a little break after you and I are done. Change into some comfier clothes. I spent the night at Nick's, so I ended up not coming home until 15 minutes before we were supposed to start recording. So I am in my outside clothes. My outside clothes smell like Korean barbecue. So.
Oh, so you're doing the walk of shame clothes. Got it.
Yeah, correct. Correct. But yes, so I'm planning on finishing my school assignments that are due this evening. And then I've been recently sorting through my closet, getting rid of things that I'm not wearing because it's just taking up space and there's no point in keeping it if I'm not going to be using it. So I am packing everything up that I'm not using and going to take it to donate. And I need to go over, did I tell you about this camping trip that we're going on at the end of the month?
I don't think so. If you did, okay. I don't remember it.
So for Nick's birthday this year, we're going on a camping trip. And it's for an event called Burnt Soup.
Okay.
So basically it's like Burning Man, but like small and regional. So I have to go over my list again to figure out what it is that I'm still missing from my stuff for the trip, because it's going to be 3 days. And so I want to make sure I have everything I need. Not that I couldn't, in theory, because I'm taking my own car. It's not like we're caravanning.
Yeah.
So like I'm taking my own car. Technically, I could leave if I needed to and come back because I've paid for the weekend pass. But I don't want to have to leave and come back. You know, once I'm there, I want to just be there. So
it sounds similar to what my dad does every July, I think, the boogie.
Yeah.
Although this year he said it was raining really hard, so they left. He left early.
Fair. Reasonable. But yeah, so I'm pretty excited. It's going to be my first burn. And I know that Nick is really excited for both that and for his birthday. He's going to be 35. Yeah. Like, wow.
Oh, to be 35 again.
I say when I haven't even turned 37 yet.
It's like I turned 36 in January.
Right. I'm turning 37 next month.
Oh, like, to be 35 again.
Oh, the wasted youth.
Jeez.
Anyway. you know what, though? I love this about us.
Yeah. I'm going to probably watch the And Just Like That season finale again. So it's interesting. So it's not the season finale. It's the series finale. They're not doing, this is the last episode. And it was obvious the way that it ended that this was not intended to be the last episode.
Oh, no.
Like they were going to have another season.
And they got canceled.
Yeah. And I mean, I kind of understand it because it's not the best writing we've talked about on here before. I feel like it needs to be an hour instead of 30 minutes that they have to actually flesh out the entire episode, because right now it's just shoved into 30 minutes. And that's not enough time for what they want to do. Or maybe even have had like this episode be focusing on specifically this family, but then all the other ones being kind of intertwined into it as well. But still be an hour, because it was focusing on six different people this time and it got a lot.
Yeah, I remember you saying that it was a lot
for 30 minutes. It was like, ooh, that's a lot. So I probably will watch it again because I did just watch it last night, and I like to watch it a second time the day after just to kind of figure out what I actually feel about it, because I don't like the way that it ended, but I kind of understand why it ended this way. And again, it didn't seem like it was intended to be this ending. Mm-hmm. I wanted it to be an hour long episode and have them show the launch and the final version of the documentary that LTW was working on, flesh out the relationship that Miranda and her partner started having, because it kind of had a turning point at this episode, and then have the book launch for Carrie's new book because she was finishing up her book, and then kind of show how the relationship between Seema and not Seema is it Seema I think it's Seema and her new boyfriend worked out, and it kind of touched on it a little bit, and you can kind of leave it up to your imagination based on the way that it ended in the Thanksgiving episode that they were having, which is kind of weird to have a Thanksgiving episode in August, but whatever. And then for like Charlotte, what goes on, like what happens with the cancer that her husband has and how it changes their family dynamic. So mm-hmm. I don't think it was as good of a like button up and finishing because it wasn't intended to be the last episode of the entire series.
Right. And it was only 30 minutes. That's so much.
Yeah, that's a lot to plug into 30 minutes. But it didn't even have like the release of the documentary from LTW and Carrie's book. And like there was kind of like a you can see where the relationship's going and stuff for the two that are in a new relationship. And like they, so it was prostate cancer that Charlotte's husband had, and it caused him to not be able to have an erection.
Yeah, he's impotent now.
Yeah, but then he, in this episode, did get one, and that was why they couldn't come to their Thanksgiving, because they were busy. So it was an interesting show, or an interesting last episode. But aside from that, I'm going to do my finish or start working on the rest of my update to chapter one, and then hopefully finish it by tomorrow and button it up for Monday and turn it in. And then tomorrow, Ryan and I and Mary, his mom, and Jasmine, his niece, are potentially Jasmine, I don't know, still kind of questionable there, are going to go to the Ivy, which is a restaurant that's right around here in Providence, and have lunch.
Love that.
And then we're going to take them to the Madrid Bakery. Did you go there while you were here?
Yes.
They have delicious food. I do fear delicious pastries and coffee. I do feel like this one that they're like First Shore flagship store is starting to suffer a little bit in quality because they've opened a new store in a different town. And the baker that is like typically at this one and owns the store is more focused on the other one. So they have someone that's not him baking. And I don't know if we talked about it here. I got a key lime tart or something like that, and it had chunks of plastic in it.
Yes, I do remember you telling me about that. I don't remember if we talked about it on here, but I do remember you telling me about that.
And they were very flippant about it. Like, they were like, okay, and?
I was like, there shouldn't be plastic in my food.
I was like, no, you don't understand. There were shards of plastic in my food. They're like, oh, well, we'll throw those away then. We'll throw that batch away. Like, cool. Thanks. What are you doing to remedy this?
Right. Like,
so I was like, whatever. It's like it was like a $5 tart. So I'm like, it's fine. Whatever. I'll just throw the tart away. I don't get my tart, which is very annoying. But that's very first world problems. There's bigger problems in the world than me losing $5 on a tart.
I mean, true, but it is still frustrating.
Yeah. Speaking of, we're almost an hour and a half in. today or this last week, I was standing talking to Alitza at the table while she was like tabling, getting people to sign up for the event this weekend. And one of the directors walked over and he was like, I think we should charge people $5 or something because everybody can afford $5. I was like, I don't think you can make that statement.
Yeah, no.
And he was like, well, I think everybody can afford $5. I was like, but I don't think you understand what you are meaning by what it means when you say that. And he was like, well, we're this close to Boston. The people that work here are the ones that are coming, so they should be able to afford it. I was like, but I think the issue is we live so close to Boston. Our people don't get paid as much as they should be to live as close to Boston as we do. And not all of them can afford $5.
Yeah.
I was like, don't say things like that because it shows how out of touch you are with the employees that work at this company, because not everyone can afford $5. So I was very frustrated, and he kind of was like, walked away, like scolded. I was like, I mean, you shouldn't make those statements because it's not making declarative statements. We've talked about it on here before. You can't make declarative statements and not have like an asterisk or a by the way type of thing.
Right.
Well, now that we've been at this for almost an hour and a half, would you like to call it a podcast?
Yeah, I think it's safe to call it a podcast.
All right. Well, wow, that was a rough ending. My brain is fried, people. Stick
Maybe
with me.
Maybe we're not safe to call it a podcast.
my brain is scrambled. Stick with me here. Give me some leeway. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Now About That with James and Sarah. If you like this episode, please give us a like, a comment, and don't forget to follow or subscribe. If you would, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen, as this will help get the podcast out to more people and help us grow. Feel free to follow us on social media. Our handle everywhere is at Now About That Pod. So if we don't come up in the platform, then we're not on that. If we don't come up in the search, then we're not on that platform. And if there's something you would like us to discuss on the podcast, feel free to email us at nowaboutthatpod@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, www.nowaboutthatproductions.com, or you can can call and leave us a voicemail or send us a text message. Our phone number is 765-557-4170. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you have a great week since this will be coming out on a Monday. And Sarah, enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Bye, everybody.